All right, I'm here in my farm in the middle of the mountains in Colombia.
Lobita, mini wolf, mini lobo.
And what I want to talk about today are the pros and cons of being a dating coach. Many of you guys have asked me, how do I become one? People have this image of being a dating coach is like the best thing ever. All you do is have amazing experiences with extremely attractive girls while traveling the world with your best friends. That's all you do. It's like the reality is a little bit different than that. So I took some notes on this and I'm going to go through it first with the pros and then with the cons. So first pro, obvious one, is you get to travel. So as a dating coach, you can basically put your schedule in the cities that you want to go to. And for me, an important thing for me was discovering like a place that I wanted to go and travel or to live. So, you know, I put cities all over the world, places I really liked. And, you know, it's cool to travel. It's cool to see places. And I'm going to talk about the cons of this later. But yeah, pro, you get to see the world. Next one is that you can be your own boss, right? So you don't have anyone telling you what to do. You can structure your programs in the way you feel best. And there's a con of this. Maybe I'll sneak it in here. My grandpa used to say, the best thing about being your own boss is that you can make your own schedule and work when you want to work. And he goes, any 16 hours of the day that you want. And it's true, right? There's a lot of work. All right. Next thing is that you learn a lot of business and high income skills. So you learn how to do sales, customer service, program creation, internet marketing, copywriting, ads, etc. And you learn how to manage employees. So instead of just being a solopreneur, you can grow your business in terms of hiring salespeople, hiring, let's say, someone to come help you coach, someone to video edit, someone to film, etc. You learn how to like invest in key things at the right time. So obviously when you're starting out, you need to get a camera, you need to get certain things, and yeah, you need to do it at the precise right time and the optimal way. So then the biggest reward of this is that you get the mindset of a business owner, right? Instead of being someone who's just like leeching off the system, or instead of just being an employee mindset where all you want is money, you think in terms of investments, returns, and stuff like this. Another pro is the thanks you get. If you're actually good at this, you will get tons of students giving you, you know, testimonials, having epiphanies, saying thank you, letting go of their trauma, getting their dream girl, getting a girlfriend, having crazy experiences, getting threesomes. So guy on my mentorship call met a porn star in LA who invited him to an orgy with 7 girls. Some guys are traveling the world right now with their like dream girl. And I follow a lot of these guys on Instagram, and it's really nice to see that I could be a part in their life to propel them toward, you know, getting their dream girl. You get endless thanks, props, respect, admiration, and support from people whose lives you've impacted. That was a whole. You also get to inspire people, right? Not everyone invests into a program, but with your free content, people get inspired and they go out and they change their lives. So give you a little view. Some trees here. All right. The next thing is that you can get free help quite easily. So a lot of you know I started off as an assistant. So I was an assistant unpaid for almost 3 years with my mentor. People just want to learn game, right? There's a lot of guys out there who struggle. And if you don't know why or the reasons behind that, go into my Dark Reality of the Game video. Basically, there's biological imperatives and cultural things that make it harder for guys to have success when dating. You have double the amount of female ancestors as male ancestors, most guys are losers who don't reproduce. Obviously, it changed a bit in the agricultural age, but, you know. All right. Yeah, but there is a hidden con in this, and it's that if you pay with bananas, you get a bunch of monkeys, right? So I've been fortunate. I've had, you know, a couple great assistants who they worked unpaid, and the only thing was they wanted to get experience and they wanted to see the world and they wanted to learn game. So they got something out of it, and then out of what I get out of it, I got, you know, free editing or things. So it's basically an exchange. But conversely, you know, I've hired a lot of paid people. Like, I have a couple paid people on my staff right now. Okay. Let's continue on this hike over here. So, in-person coaching. I fucking love in-person coaching. This is, if you ask me, like, what's the funnest part, I wouldn't say it's even getting my own infield. I would say the most fun part of being a dating coach is when you do in-person coaching. And I know a lot of people don't do this, but I'm like one of very few people who do this. But I like to mic up my students so I can listen into their interactions. And I actually talk into their ear with an earpiece so that I can basically guide them through the interaction. And, you know, it's like right when they're about to like do something stupid, I like correct it. Or right when it's the optimal moment to lead the girl onto, you know, onto an insta-date is when I give them the information. So it's almost like if you play a video game, it's like I'm controlling the character, and his, like, the aim of the game is to get him laid. And then I bring him through that whole process. And, you know, when he gets laid in real life, it's like I get laid by proxy, right? It's kind of like Avatar. So yeah, those are the pros that I see in terms of being a dating coach. All right, so I'm sitting here editing this, and I wanted to add a couple more pros to being a dating coach. So there's four things that a man kind of builds his life around and finds tremendous value in, right? Money, girls, social status, and freedom, right? So if you have the ability to have girls, you have tremendous value. If you can give someone the ability to meet girls, if you can just give a guy a girl, like, that wants to fuck him, that's tremendous value. I have a couple friends in the porn industry, and they do this with, like, if they want to connect with someone, they hang out with them and they bring one of their porn star friends over and to fuck them, basically. And so it's a tremendous value for guys. And you can connect with very, very high level people simply because you have that ability that you can transform their life, right? What's the most important part of your life? It's social interactions, right? And if you can give someone the ability or introduce them to a girl, which, you know, many of my friends and tons of my ex-students or my old students, they meet girls on my program, right? So it's tremendous value, and it definitely leaves an impact. The other pro I'd put is that meeting girls is literally part of your job. It's like something you have to do. So, you know, it's definitely a pro. Like, what if your boss told you, stop with that TPS report and get out there and get some pussy? It's like a pretty nice thing. Now, the hidden con of that is that you associate work with girls, which, you know, with enough meditation and presence and just enjoying the process of game, you can just get in the zone, get in the moment, and really enjoy the girl, even though, you know, you may be getting filmed or you may be winging on a boot camp or whatever. But yeah, those are two other pros. You can connect with guys pretty easily and get to connect with girls as part of your job. So yeah. So now let's crack into the cons. So one con is that it's difficult to make money in the beginning, and it's not that profitable. So think about the number 100 man in the world in real estate. The number 100 man in the world in real estate is probably a billionaire. He probably has properties all over the world. It's probably on Forbes, like, top list or something like this. And, yeah, think of another area. Let's say e-commerce. Number 100 e-commerce guy probably has, you know, a nine-figure income per year or something like this. So comparing that to being a dating coach, the number 100 dating coach is like eating ramen in his mom's basement, just like levels of poverty, basically. And I've been there. When I was unknown and working for free, I remember a time where I literally had to cut off parts of a mealy, rotting potato to eat. I was so poor, had such a lack of resources, that I was eating rotting food. So imagine if I was interning at a real estate firm or a law firm, they'd probably be paying me for this, or at least giving me some sort of benefits, right? Another thing to hammer this point home, another dating coach in this industry recently switched to doing business. So he had around 250,000 subscribers on his dating channel, and then he switched to teaching business. By the time he had 20,000 subscribers. So he had more, he had 10x more on his dating channel. By the time he had 10 times less on his business channel, he was already making the same amount as his other channel. And then it soon took over that. It's because people are more willing to invest into business coaching. Because if I promise you that, you know, $10,000 invested in a program is going to result in, you know, $500,000 for you somehow, then it's a very easy sale, right? Whereas not everyone wants to invest into their health or their nutrition or their fitness or their dating life or other areas of their life, right? For business people, it's a very easy sale. Another thing, and I'm not saying this about any of my students, I'm not saying this about things in general, it's just from what some of my friends who teach business coaching say, is that they get higher quality clients because they teach business. And the sales more justified as they see the program helping them make more money. Okay, another con is relationship and dating issues. So some girls will discover your channel before you go on a date with them. Now, I've had this happen multiple times. I've even banged a girl who found me through my channel, but those are very few. Those are like exceptions. All right, those are exceptions to the rule, not the rule itself. And most of the girls who find the channel, oh, fuck, he teaches dating advice. Like, everything he says is a line. Whereas, like, if you teach natural game, and not in terms of, like, oh, you're naturally good with women, but that you're not using scripts and lines and things like this, you're more or less just using the masculine qualities and the structure of what works in game and understanding female psychology to help you get laid. It doesn't make sense that the girls critique you this way. And if you try to explain it, then they're like, oh my God, is this like another thing? So it's so bizarre. And I've had it before where like I bang the girl and then she finds out about the channel and drops off. And then I meet her out and then, you know, I'll hang out with her again. We'll have sex again a couple more times. And then she just drops off. And, you know, that could be a bunch of things, but one reason is that girls just simply don't really like it. And now you could neuter your content and water it down to the point where it's just like, just be confident and cool and buy this cologne. And it's like really gay and buy this gel and cologne and watch. And like, I don't know, like there's like another, there's a YouTuber with like 3 million views. who is like, his whole channel is like about, it's like about dating and like self-development stuff, but all he does is pitch products. I find it very bizarre. Yeah. So if you want to actually keep it real and talk about reality and what works, then you're going to have issues. Many girls long-term do not want to be associated with the dating coach. Think about like with her family and stuff like this. Like, sure, there's people who are open-minded and stuff like this, but think about like, oh yeah, that's my boyfriend. He's a dating coach. Oh, cool. What's his YouTube channel? And then it's like, oh, I see he posts videos of like him meeting girls, which, you know, you could do a channel where you, you know, keep it somewhat raw, but also like don't show infield. That's a whole nother thing. Yeah, they think you have like some kind of special powers, like dark arts or whatever, but it's actually not that way. So another cool thing is that open-minded, intelligent, fun sexual girls typically don't care. They don't mind. And many of them are ride or dies, will stick by your side. Like my current girlfriend, like fucking hates feminazis, and she like literally, she'll like DM them and be like, fuck you, like just intense. She finds it so stupid as well. Basically, if you find a girl who doesn't fall for mainstream derpy narrative thinking that pervades most people, then you'll be fine. But a lot of girls will drop off. Okay. Yeah, we used to have this joke, like my old company. It's like, if every girl who dropped off for us being a dating coach, like stayed with us, like we wouldn't be able to get anything done. We'd just be getting laid too much. Okay, so some business cons. One issue is with testimonials. So if people in the fitness niche want a testimonial, all they have to do is fucking ask, right? Everyone's like, oh yeah, look at my fucking transformation. I'll post that shit on my own Instagram. But if you talk about dating, then it's like, oh, well, I don't want people to know that I was like lower value before. I don't want people to know that I took a dating program because it's like taboo to work on yourself as a man. So it's so stupid. So yeah, people want to be blurred for testimonials. It's just harder to collect testimonials in general. Whereas like with fitness, you just have to DM like everyone that works for you, or sorry, everyone who's taking your program, and then they send you the testimonial. Another thing is you can't market dating programs on Facebook. You have to disguise it. So, like it'll be like, conquer your fear, get over that fear. And it's like, what fear? You know, but if you follow the guy, you recognize the face, you're like, yeah, I should get over that fear. And you know what they mean, but it's more obnoxious. Okay. Then issue with being a solopreneur. So when you start out, you will most likely have to be a solopreneur, which means you don't really have anyone working for you because no one gives a fuck because you're unknown. So you basically end up have to do everything yourself, and you have to be a generalist. So while some people can specialize, let's say if they're an employee, or let's say they even have a business, but it's very specialized, such as like YouTube ads, it's like, what do? They do YouTube ads. They manage campaigns. That's it. And then if you are, you know, let's say you have some accounting firm or something, you're doing accounting and maybe managing accountants, right? But if you're doing dating coaching, you basically have to learn video editing, how to shoot, photo editing, researching, writing, networking, studying business, filming, website design, sales, social media marketing, program design, customer service, SEO, answering comments and questions, managing online groups, accounting, public speaking, event management, in-person coaching, online coaching, all while sharpening your practice of game and your understanding of game, deepening your knowledge. So it's a lot to do, because think about this, like if you are running a YouTube ads agency, like some of my friends are, check out Lynx Digital, shout out Lynx Digital. If you guys want the best YouTube ads guys in the world, they do like Kino Body and stuff. But if you're doing something like that, you can be burnt out, you can be out of it, and you can still hustle through your workday. But what about if I need to go coach? Can I be burnt out from work and then go deliver the best program ever? No. So I have to be very conscious about my sleep and my health. Same thing with going out and talking to girls. What if I've been, you know, hustling all day on a project or video editing and my brain's like holding this logical fried headspace? I need to know how to get out of that very quickly and feel good when I'm talking to those girls. I can't be like burnt out, logical, dark energy when I'm trying to meet girls, right? It's going to be shitty footage. And on top of that, you're getting footage, so it's added pressure. So you have to be on for coaching, gaming, etc. The next thing is burnout from traveling. So one of my best students ever, Gonzalo Hoshi, I'm gonna post his Instagram here. Follow it. He's got like over 100,000 followers now. It's really cool self-development stuff and concepts. So I brought Gonzalo with me, and he was super, super excited to travel the world. And you know, I had done a world tour before. And I got a little burnt out, but this world tour was insane. It was just like new city every week for, man, like a year. So yeah, What we didn't realize before doing that world tour is that it takes around 2 to 3 weeks to adjust to a new place that you're sleeping. If you want to just start getting decent sleep, it's like about a few days to a week. So you're getting on an airplane, you're getting like radiation, dehydration in the sky, then you're going to a new place that's a different time zone that takes your time for your body to adjust, a different latitude, and a different place to sleep in general. Your brain can't fully relax when you're sleeping in a new place because it's on more high alert, because it needs to be aware, like, what's this new situation? I'm not familiar with this, right? So you kind of get burnt out from, in terms of the sleep, in terms of the travel, you feel like this just like radiation kind of like pouring through you from being up so high in the airplane and being dehydrated. And just like it toward the end of the tour, both he and I would get nauseous when we enter an airport. Like, we just step foot in the airport and already our body's like, oh, like we just feel like we're gonna throw up from like the stress of it all and from the issues with flying. Yeah. So that's just like a thing with traveling in general. But like, when you have so many places you need to go, and sometimes in these cities, like for example, we go to an Airbnb in Kiev. Kiev's probably one of the worst cities I've ever been to. So we go to the Airbnb. The guy goes, oh, no, that one's actually going to be taken today. We're going to bring you somewhere else. Brings us to some undisclosed, like, Soviet-era apartment that looks like you would, like, torture welfare people or something. Just, like, horrible. Just, like, dirty, filthy, like. And basically at the end of that, I was just like, I can't. Like, it was, like, 1 or 2 days there. I was like, I literally cannot sleep here. I can't sleep. So we get another place, and then that's another issue with that. There's, like, bed bugs. Like, finally, I'm like, I'm just going to pay a lot more, just get a nice Airbnb that has really good reviews and just hope that it's okay. So in 2 weeks, we're at 3 different places. So it's messing up your sleep even more. The next con is that if you do this kind of in-person coaching, you have to travel, right? Which makes you accumulate friends throughout the world. Same thing with my students. Like, half of my good friends now are ex-students. Like, they're previous bootcamp students, like part of the alumni. So I have friends around the world. Aiden, David Bond, Mo Abassi, Patrick, Phil, Casey, Brian, David, Mike, Andrew, Lubo, etc. There's, you know, dozens of people that I've met that I really connect with in terms of, like, we have epic adventures. Like, I remember with Mike in Hawaii, we're doing these crazy hikes and taking photos and gaming together and laughing and eating, and just, you have a great time and then you have to leave. And then you have like you have so many of these people where you could have really deep, awesome friendships. And then what happens? You have to leave, you go somewhere else. So you meet really cool people who live all over the place. Great students who fly in for the programs, and then they leave. And so, yeah, you end up having a collection of less strong relationships, which is sad and frustrating. And now I love traveling with those people. Like, I'll, you know, my friend Mike in Vegas, we're doing trips together. We're going to do another trip pretty soon. But, you know, it would be nice to just have someone nearby. You're like, yo, let's go fucking toss a frisbee. Let's go on a hike. Let's go grab dinner together, you know. And I do have friends where I live, but it's just like, I wish all of them could be here. It's kind of the thing. All right, next thing is you will be constantly disrespected, misunderstood, and attacked. So this is kind of the flip of the coin of the other one about people respecting you. Sure, people in the community will respect you, and even some of them may not like you, but in general, you will get positive feedback from people in the niche. But anyone outside of it who doesn't understand self-development, who doesn't understand, like, dating and these types of things, they're going to attack you. And another thing is that dating and your relationships are a very, very emotional topic for a lot of people. So for me, when I saw people crushing it, like my old mentor back in the day, I didn't get jealous. I didn't get angry. I thought, oh my fucking God, that's so awesome. I want to try that. I want to meet that guy. I want to learn from him. I want to try this. I want to, like, do this for myself. But for a lot of people, their narrative is that no one's getting success. Like, I can do it if I even try. They have, like, this learned helplessness about it. So for them, in order to maintain that what they do is they attack you. So if you're saying, no, look, here's how you actually could get success with this, they go, I don't want to fucking hear it because that contradicts my narrative that's protecting my self-image right now. So that girl's hired, she's fake, she's an actress, she's ugly, she's paid, she's whatever. They come up with any literally anything. Oh, she's fucking drunk, she's this, she's that. He's just using like very manipulative things. They'll come up with any story to paint you as like not getting them, getting girls on your own merits. What they don't realize is that there's 8 billion people on the planet and people meet each other and people date and people have sex. Yeah. So helping men is also against the narrative in a gynocentric world. If you are a dating coach who teaches women like Matthew Hussey, you are cheered on and revered. If you do the exact same thing for men, you are reviled. It's a very interesting dynamic. Another thing is like you'll get banned from even going on things. So my friend David Bond, he's been banned from almost every payment platform just because his girlfriend has big tits. Like he'll literally just be, he'll post on like the Bitcoin subreddit and it'll just be like him like, yeah, my girlfriend learned how to use Bitcoin for the first time. It's just like her and him like next to a Bitcoin ATM. She's smiling. But because she has big tits and she's hot, he gets banned from that. He gets banned from PayPal and Stripe. I was planning on going to a non-duality meditation retreat, but because there was another dating coach who went on it and he basically stole the whole thing from that lady, she said, no, like you should not come. And then she started like being like, everything that the dating world teaches is misogynistic and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, actually, it's not. I love women. My girlfriend loves women too and blah, blah, blah. And just going into like, into depth about that. And she goes, no, I at the end of the day, no. And it was kind of funny because non-dualism, like the stuff that she teaches is about how to like kind of see yourself as the same as someone else and like everything's connected and these type of things. But she couldn't get past this. And I basically found out that she has like bad experiences with men in the past, but that's what it is. Another thing is death threats, strange, rude messages, people asking where you live. Like many dating coaches don't show videos from their balcony because people can identify it and come to where they are and threaten them and bring a mob and these types of things. You can get banned from countries. For me, I had like an entire country come after me and like death threats and like these types of things. Just every account getting like attacked and, you know, I was like afraid all my accounts were going to get banned because they, you know, they can make up whatever narrative they want, feed it to someone and say, this is the target, go attack. And with mentally deranged people, they just want to attack people, right? And a part of the reason they want to do that is because it takes time away from them evaluating themselves and understanding why their own lives are fucked up. So they use, you know, attacking other people as a way to divert attention away from themselves. So I'm more or less desensitized to this now, but still it's not enjoyable. It's not a positive thing to get a death threat in your messages, right? You're not like, oh boy, I can't wait, you know? It's more or less died down for me now, but still like that thing does exist and it is a thing. And Google most hated man in the world 2014 and you'll see what another dating coach. It is really interesting because what we do is essentially like as a dating coach, what you will do is essentially the same as a business coach, a therapist, a personal trainer, yet people judge intensely. So no one says like, what the fuck? You need a personal trainer? Your body's fine. You don't need that. Like you're good. Like people are just like, oh, personal trainer, like he helps you and like he motivates you and he makes sure that you do it with good form so your body doesn't get fucked up and helps you get results and stay on track to get those results. Like no one critiques that. Yeah, like no one goes like, ha, oh, what a loser. He's seeking help from an expert who will shorten his learning curve to avoid injuries and misinformation. Oh my God, what the fuck? But the same thing happens for dating. What the fuck? Like he got dating advice, like he did this, and like, oh my God, dating advice even exists? Oh my God, everyone should be crushing it like me because I haven't gotten laid in 3 years. And like, meanwhile, just as there's an obesity epidemic in the US and just as malnutrition and things like this exist in the world, and it makes the need for a nutritionist or a personal trainer, there's an epidemic of loneliness in men. 23% of men have not had sex in the past year. Not the past month, the past year they have not had sex. And like even the ones that have had sex in the past year, maybe it's one time, maybe it's a couple times. And maybe they're not having sex with the quality of woman they want. They don't want, in terms of her attractiveness, in terms of her inner qualities, they want to attract a woman who, you know, who makes them excited, who like inspires them, who they can do hobbies with, who they can, you know, enjoy life with. They don't want to just be settling. Not all guys want to settle or not have sex or be abstinent. So the ego says, I don't need a coach, right? And, you know, before I do a bunch of different coaching, I just signed up for a $5,000 mindset training. Do I need this? Is it like, is my ego like, of course, like, it's a lot of money, but it's an investment in myself. I see things as an investment in myself. I make sure the person's good. You know, I make sure that what they teach is good. I make sure it's something that I need at the time. And then I invest in myself. So no one needs much of anything. You could literally sleep on this grass and then have like raise some animals or raise some plants, and that could be your life, right? You don't need a refrigerator. You don't need a house. You don't need virtually everything you have. You don't need a cell phone. But we have certain things like beds, toilets, refrigerators, indoor plumbing, because they make our lives better in some way. They improve our lives. You know, it's more enjoyable to take a shit on a, you know, a Japanese toilet that sprays your butthole than taking a shit on the ground and digging a hole for it, you know? So we have certain things because they make our lives better, right? And sure, it's not as important as food, water, shelter for most people. But if you have food, water, shelter taken care of, how about your relationships? How about the social life that you have? They find that your social life matters more for your health than diet, than sleep, than exercise. Just as a business coach helps you with your business or a personal trainer helps you with your physique, a dating coach helps you with your dating life. In any of your area of your life, if you're serious about becoming good at it, you should get a mentor. It's the same way I learned to speak Spanish. Do you think I just said, I'll fucking wing it, I'll learn it on the streets, so I have fucked up grammar and shit? No, I had tutors come into my house, two tutors. Like the first time I was doing this, I was doing like 5 classes a week. Then I cut it down to 2 2-hour classes a week. I got a Spanish girlfriend. I live in a Spanish place. I watch Netflix in Spanish with Spanish subtitles. It's inevitable that I'm going to learn Spanish, right? And when I do make mistakes, the documentary is not there to critique me. But you know who is? The mentor. Another thing is, make sure it's still recording. Another con is you often will film instead of being in the moment. So the way, like for example, you got Instagram, Snapchat, YouTube, and you're constantly thinking about content instead of enjoying the moment. Now, I believe that there's a balance to be made with this. Like right now, I'm taking, you know, 30 minutes, an hour to create this content for you guys. I hope it's interesting. And I think the thing we should focus on, if you do any kind of content creation, I know a bunch of YouTubers watch my shit, it should be focus on creating high quality content. Right? High quality content doesn't take that much time. It takes a good camera, writing out things, structuring it, maybe some editing. But the thing that really sucks up time is constantly making Instagram stories, getting distracted, going from working to making an Instagram story, going from this to that. It's like these transitions back and forth with the phone is what really fucks people up. Whereas like creating the highest quality content, like if you go on YouTube, I have the best day game video. I have some of the best infield. Like when I create something, it gets high up in the ranking because it's so high quality. I don't need to focus on making, you know, a day game Snapchat every fucking day. So you do end up kind of thinking like, oh shit, I'm like with this girl. Should I like film a vlog? And you know, vlogging and filming is kind of, it does push you out to go explore more, but then again, it takes you out of what you're experiencing. So you can take, and for you guys in general, there's this great, video, I'll link here. It's called How to Remember Your Life. And it's about like not taking 5 million pictures like a Japanese tourist, right? Or Chinese tourist in LA, but taking key photos that help you remember something, deleting all the other clutter, and then enjoying the moment, like letting your mind capture the sensory information. Like right now, the smell of the grass, the sound of the insects, how the sun feels on my skin, all these things are helping me remember this moment. And if I just take one picture, it'll help recall all that. But if all I'm doing is taking pictures, you know, you don't remember any of it, you don't enjoy any of it. Another thing is, so this is for people in general, and I want to preface this by saying I personally love helping people. It honestly is one of the only reasons why I'm still doing this. This is not the best monetary decision for me to make, you know, dating content, especially putting it out for free, or even being a dating coach. I can make a lot more money doing other things, right? I'm a smart guy. I can figure things out. But this is one reason why a lot of my friends have quit. It's because they can't handle listening to people's problems constantly. So being a dating coach, my job is to find solutions, social solutions, dating solutions, to help people scale things up, to use ads and marketing and Tinder and hacks and strategies and like self-development and how to learn these habits and how to improve these areas and like the things that people are going to do to get them the highest ROI, the fastest, to help them get over trauma, etc. So all these problems that people come at me with, I'm able to come up with a holistic solution and give it back to them so that it's inevitable that they get results, right? So there's a multifaceted approach that helps them get results faster than they would if they're just focusing on dating or just focusing on self-development or just focusing on their physique, etc. There's a lot of people who've left this industry, right? Like most people leave within 5 years. Why is that? Partially it's the money, partially it's the social backlash and the social reputation damage. But also part of it is they're bombarded with questions like people wanting free advice, just very intense issues. And a lot of the personal coaching, you're with the person, right? So you get the vibes off of a person. If you have a person on your program who is very severely depressed, you're going to feel that way, right? And sure, I can pump them up and I can give them the habits and stuff. And this is why before programs, I get people on a program before they even take my in-person program. So they're getting coached before it. So that they're like primed to get that coaching in person. They get the most out of it. It does play a role. So I have to not only be my normal self, I have to bring more positivity, more joy, more fun, more energy. Yeah, because part of coaching is essentially being a type of therapist. So if you don't think that you could be a good therapist, you won't be a good dating coach. It's as simple as that. If you can't listen to people's problems, you're not going to make it. If you can't figure out solutions that work for them, that are customized to their personality type, to their culture, to their region, to the city they live in, then just fucking stop. Yeah, so for many people, this is not something they want to do. And like I said, this isn't something for me. I love helping people find solutions. Most of the people I work with in my programs are fucking awesome. The next thing I kind of touched on this is that people expect things for free. So you wouldn't walk into a therapist's office, just kick the door in and be like, you know, help me for free, right? You wouldn't go to a massage therapist and be like, yo, can I get like a free 5-minute massage? Yet people expect dating coaches to kind of give out free information all the time. And there is a problem with this is that you should not accept free advice. And now, sure, can you learn a couple things? Yes. But will you actually take action on the vast amount of information that you're given? Probably not. You don't have enough pain. You need to invest and you need to have a mentor tracking your progress to actually see success. So if someone gives you free advice, find a way to pay for it. So I have a couple friends who are killing it at Instagram game, just like, you know, fucking the hottest like Instagram fitness models in Sweden and place like this. So I didn't go, hey bro, like give me a tip. I didn't want to, and that's another thing. When you ask for free advice, what you're doing is essentially telling the other person, give me something sufficient enough so that I go away that kind of solves the problem, but isn't a full solution. So what you do is, if all you're doing is asking for free advice from different people, you are getting partial answers to your problems. And even on YouTube, I can't say everything I want to say on YouTube, right? YouTube is like a very gynocentric, controlled, they're policing speech. Anything that doesn't fit their narrative, they want to get rid of. So it's like, it's great that I'm on here, but I can't say everything I want to say on here. when you pay someone for advice, they go above and beyond to give you full solutions, to help you reach your goals, to track with you, like how are you doing this week? How are you doing this week? And that's why I had just enrolled in a mindset training for $5,000. And yeah, this can happen in any field, right? You get like the clueless narcissist who believe people owe them and they feel entitled to your labor for free, which usually alienates the expert and makes them think that the person's retarded. If you want an expert's advice, pay them for the full experience so that you don't have questions in the future. Don't beg for little scraps that will not even make them want to give you a full response. The best thing to say is, I love your work. I'm curious about this topic. I see it isn't in your YouTube channel. It would make a great video and help people. Like, if you actually want something covered that's not been covered, either join the training or request a video on YouTube. Yeah, it's a better way to do it. All right, I'm in the shade now. The internal temperature of the camera is too high. But the last thing that I'll say on the free advice thing is that if someone that you're asking advice from doesn't know your situation, your city, your experiences, other habits and things that are influencing you in your life, they can't truly give you the response for you. It's not every response is for everyone. It's not like a one size fits all, right? We're all different people, and dating is very individualistic. You may not like the same type of girls that I like. I like girls who, you know, have a big ass and like D-cup tits and smooth skin and like a little bit tan. You know, I like blonde girls too, but it's not my favorite type. But for most guys, you know, they like the white girls, or they like, you know, some girl guys only like Asian girls. So it depends on your taste. It depends on your background. It depends on your personality type and your city. I can't give the same advice to some guy in Mumbai that I could give to some guy in, you know, Berlin. It's two different places, two different cultures around dating. People need to know your full situation to give you actual advice that's going to help you in your life. So I'm going to go into a couple more social things now. So social reputation things. So many parents will not be proud of you, even if you're among the best in the world. So I know I'm not going to toot my own horn, but by various metrics, I am one of the top 10 in the world at this, right? So now imagine you're, let's say I was a famous swimmer. I'm number 10 swimmer in the world. I'm not winning an Olympic medal, but I'm number 10 in the world, let's say. I haven't materially impacted anyone else's life besides my own. I want to just swim because I like swimming and I want to get the medal. Cool. I mean, that I'm not knocking any other profession, but compare that and a parent's pride at being, my son's number 10 in the USA at swimming. My son's number 10 in the world at swimming versus my son's like, you know, one of the top dating coaches on the entire planet. No, they don't say that. In fact, when I'm at dinner with my dad and like we're, you know, he's got some friends around, he calls me a confidence coach. I'm not a dating coach. I'm a confidence coach. So yeah, it's just so bizarre. And a lot of this, you can see this in terms of movies too. So there's a recent movie, I forget the name, maybe I'll put it here, but it was like, there's just nonstop violence the entire movie. Non-stop violence, people dying, people just getting shot, heads blowing off, just the graphicest of graphic detail. And then conversely, there was a movie back in like I think the 50s or 60s where it showed a sex scene of the actor getting an actual blowjob from a girl. And the dick wasn't shown, but he was getting a blowjob. Audiences reacted so intensely that they left the theater. Now, when you think about it, what's a worse thing to have happen to you? Get your head shot or to get head? Like, obviously it'd be worse to get to have someone shoot you with a gun. But yeah, people react so strongly to this one area. And I think it's because, like, what are the two strongest forces in life? Survival, reproduction. A lot of your dreams are about running away, falling, things that have to do with like survival. That's maybe one of the reasons why movies, you know, if you see a violent movie, it's like, okay, how would I, in this situation, how would I react? That's why we like violent video games. But, you know, in terms of like sexual things, it's a very, very private matter, right? And yeah, you don't disclose like the type of shit you like in bed to your family. Things like this. So it's just an interesting thing. I know in different countries it is slightly different, right? In the more open-minded European countries is slightly different, but still the same. I think the same thing applies. Yeah. All right. Next social thing is that typically you won't tell people what you do. So like, for example, if I was, you know, the number 5 real estate guy in the world, I'd be like, I do real estate, like check out my shit. But if I'm just meeting someone for the first time, unless it's like a guy who looks somewhat alpha or cool, I'm not going to give them my information. Yeah, here's my YouTube channel, so you can judge it and tell me that like men should just cut off their penises and get vasectomies. So, yeah. And this is common with many other professions that are inherently intriguing as well, because I don't want to be bombarded by questions. Holy shit, it's like Hitch, right? It's like this. Oh, no. And then that's all I talk about. I don't want to go through the same rote conversation over and over and over and over and over again. So there was an example, like I read this book recently called 1491. It's about America before Columbus came. And they're talking about how like this like Mayan archaeologist was going to study the Mayans on, you know, on the airplane. He was on the flight there, sorry. And he'd say, yo, what's your name? He's chatting to the person next to him. He's like, yeah, so what do you do? Oh, I'm going to study the Maya. Oh, really? Tell me about that. Like, I'm Mexican. Like, I just want to know, like, what happened with the fallen civilization? Blah, blah. And so he quickly learned to not bring up this. And he, on flights, he just says he does business. This is why, like, the vast majority of dating coaches will not tell people that they're dating coaches, right? So in summary, there's some pros to being a dating coach, you know, traveling, being your own boss, having time with girls, etc. But there's a lot of cons as well. And for the vast majority of people, the cons dramatically, drastically outweigh the pros. And my advice to anyone thinking about becoming a dating coach is, okay, but only do it if you think it's the number one way to add value in your lifetime, something you're passionate about, something that, you know, gets you fired up, right? And something that you're excited about, something that you think that you could become one of the best in the world. Extremely knowledgeable, extremely helpful, willing to help people. Or else you'll just give up like virtually everyone else has. All right, it's outro time. So if you're looking for someone to help mentor you, to get your dating goals handled, to get your dating life handled, to get abundance, or to have a very high quality woman by your side, DM me on Instagram the phrase mentor me and we'll get to it. And also, I'm going to do something that I have never done before. If you want to get mentored by me in terms of how to start a dating business, I'm only going to accept one person to mentor this year. So if you're interested in that, DM me on Instagram and say dating business and I'll help you with that as well. So that's all. Have a good day. Peace.